morning, everyone. Today's reading is from Genesis 35, verses 9 to 29. And if you want to use your pew Bible, it's on page 38. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. And Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel. While there was still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal-Edah. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Now Jacob had 12 sons. The sons of Leah were Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Rachel's maidservant, Bilhah, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's maidservant, Zilpah, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I say that just to make sure you're still awake at the beginning of what I say, and hopefully, if I say good morning again at the end, I wonder how many would reply then. I'm hopeful it would still be 100%. So, can you have Genesis 35 open, please? What's the page number again in your Bibles? I didn't hear that, but as long as you did, that's all right. Because even... No, you can't get it all up there at the same time anyway, so you need your Bibles open. Genesis 35. Right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word, and we thank you too for the lives of your servants recorded in it, and what you did in them and through them. And we thank you above all for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all things find fulfillment. And we pray now in his name. Amen. It's occurred to me, I don't know if that mic is working, but I've got one here to turn on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Of course, if you can't hear me, you won't have replied. It doesn't really help us. Now, when PJ asked me to preach this next sermon in the series on this particular section of Genesis, I think he wondered if it was fair to land on me a passage that perhaps a little bit less obvious for preaching it. And he was ready to give me a psalm. However, I thought to myself, there's quite a lot of material here. And as I worked through it, I found what I think is a key, which I'm going to keep almost to the end before I reveal it to you. So you'll have to keep listening. And I've given this sermon a provocative title, Is It Worth Walking With God? I'm not going to ask for hands up for anyone here who has ever wondered about that and echoed it. Is it worth walking with God? But I have to say straight away that Jacob was a particularly tricky character for God to take on. But the Lord persisted, and by God's grace, so did Jacob. But was it worth Jacob walking with God? Let's look first at some of the minuses in Jacob's walk with God, which emerge, or which we're reminded in this particular passage. Look at verse 16 to 18. Here we're told of the death of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. She died in childbirth. What a sad time that must have been. There's a little bit concealed in here. I'll just point out to you as we go through. Look at verse 18. In your translation, the NIV, New International Version, it says she was dying, which indeed she was, but literally it is, as her soul was departing. That's intriguing, isn't it? It's one of the many hints in the first part of Scripture, which we call the Old Testament, that there was something more to come, which of course is revealed increasingly in Scripture and above all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, as her soul was departing. So she was dying physically, but we now know she wasn't dying spiritually. But that must have been heartbreaking. Heartbreaking for Jacob. Mind you, he couldn't leave the name of the son who survived his mother's death, Benoni, which I think is son of departure or son of something like that, some very the sort of name you wouldn't give normally to a child. And his father renamed him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. But it was a very traumatic event that Jacob went through, though God's hand was on him. And you may remember the marriage had begun traumatically. You followed these passages through, I'm sure. He'd fallen in love with Rachel, which you can read about in chapter 29, verse 18 and 20. And he had to serve 7 years for her. And there's a delightful passage that says something like, it just seemed like a matter of days, because he loved Rachel so much. But after the marriage night, he found he'd been married to Leah. That was pretty poor, wasn't it? True, after a week, he also married Rachel, but he had to serve Laban another 7 years for her. All a pretty tricky start. And then, of course, there was rivalry between the two over the producing of children. Not exactly the recipe for a peaceful home life. It's a reminder, isn't it, that whatever is acceptable in society, God's original plan of one for one really is the best. And now Rachel had gone. She'd gone. And if you look at verse 18, it shows how much she had meant. Verse second half of verse 18, no, beg your pardon, verse 20. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, a sort of memorial stone, I imagine, and to this day the pillar marks Rachel's tomb. But if you look back a bit, If you look back a bit to verse 14, Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. He'd marked that epoch-making event with a particular stone memorial, and now he's also doing it in memory of his beloved wife. So, whatever he had been through, he remembered that God was still there, and he set up this memorial. So it was a minus, wasn't it? He went through it, though he was a child of God. And then there was the minus, look at verse 22, of Reuben's misbehavior with Bilhah. And Israel heard of it. Note that phrase. Israel heard of it. The embarrassment that must have caused. Israel heard of it. Imagine the tittle-tattle. So you see, here he is. God's hand is on him, but he's still got various minuses in his life. He's going through hard times. He loses his wife. His son sleeps with his concubine. Of course, if he hadn't had concubines, it wouldn't have arisen. But it did. And then there's the minus of losing his father. Look on to verse 28 at the end of the passage. Isaac lived 180 years, and then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. Yes, he was a very old man. But losing a parent is still losing a parent. And all of you who've been through that, you may have been believers, but you still went through the sadness of losing a parent. You remember some of the details. It's extraordinary, isn't it, how details stick from these events. I remember that when my mother was dying, she'd been keeping to her bed just for a short time, and her memory had really gone, which led to some interesting situations. But the cat came in each day, you see, and used to sit on the bed. And that day the cat realized there was something different, and the cat came in and then realized something wasn't as usual, and it was as though the cat was saying goodbye to my mother and then left the room again. What extraordinary things we remember, these details. And the mention, of course, of Isaac in verse 29 is a reminder of a very troubled relationship, which was really Jacob's fault, because he twice defrauded his brother, and I'm sure you covered that material earlier on in this series. And yet, of course, when you look at right at the end of verse 29, it looks as though that bad situation was finally sorted out. His sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Looks as though they were finally united again at the time their father died. So, being by God's grace a true believer in him, as Jacob had become, is no guarantee against the minuses of life, is it? If you thought that in becoming a committed believer, life was going to become easier, you've discovered that you were wrong, weren't you? In fact, really, for Christians, I think the life becomes harder. You're always going up the down escalator, which, as I may have shared with you on another occasion, is what I once did in a dreamy state on the way to school. I had to go up an escalator from the London Underground, and I couldn't think why I was making such slow progress and people were shouting at me. I was going the wrong way. And it can seem like that, even when we're committed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are the minuses still, as there were in Jacob's walk with God. And then second, the plus in Jacob's walk with God. Now, I want to keep for a moment longer the secret about the Lord, which we must not miss in these verses, but it's not really revealed in the text here. Let's just take a moment to recap and see how the God who took on Jacob, as he chooses to take on people like you and me, how that God had dealt with him. In the book of Isaiah, God likens the whole people to Jacob. And he says the people are like, I wonder if anybody knows it, Isaiah 41 verse 14, are like worm Jacob. Well, that's not a particularly flattering accolade, is it? Worm Jacob. But God had dealt with worm Jacob. You remember he had that dream at Bethel, where he set up the stone that he'd used as a pillow, as a sort of memorial of the occasion God met with him. And if you look in that chapter, and later on too, you still get the hint of Jacob trying to strike a bargain with God. He says, really, if you, God, do this and that, then you'll be my God. But all that goes when you get to chapter 32. You will have looked at all this. That incident, extraordinary incident of wrestling with God. And that's where Jacob becomes Israel. And we're told in this passage that God meets with Jacob, Israel, again at Bethel. And 35, 1 to 15 tell us all about that. And how God has got great plans for the future. The Lord is very persistent with Jacob, isn't he? He really does persist with him. Do you sometimes think God will give up on you? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, God will not give up on you. There are two people we know well, but not from the Eastbourne area. They seem such clear, committed believers. And then they opted out. And I keep praying for them, but I really don't know whether it was all just on the surface or that they're true believers, because if they are, they will be brought back, because God is persistent. So why was God so persistent? Please look at verse 11, and there in a moment I'll reveal to you the secret. God said to him, I am God Almighty. Well, you say, what's the secret there? Well, because you see, it doesn't say what the Hebrew text says. I do not know Hebrew, but I know what the Hebrew text says, because in the English Standard Version, there's a footnote. And God Almighty, in Hebrew, is the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Have you heard that name? El Shaddai? And a footnote in the ESV certainly reveals that to us, El Shaddai. And it's translated here and often God Almighty. That's not a wrong translation, but the more I dug into that, the more I found it's really a very complex name to translate. It means the God who is sufficient. It means the God of comfort. And one writer says, well, you can almost make it the tender mother love of God. So El Shaddai is really the clue to his dealings, to the Lord's dealings with Jacob. The whole way through is because to him, God is El Shaddai. It's not a name that's used of God that often, and intriguingly, it comes more often in the book of Job than anywhere else in Scripture. He is God who is El Shaddai. He's the God who turned Jacob into Israel because he's El Shaddai. The God who is sufficient. The tender mother love of God. It's still the way that God works when he chooses and takes over people like you and me. If you're a committed Christian, you'll know that God took you over at some point. You may know the exact point. I have no idea of it. But you do know that God has taken you over. And we now know, in these days of much fuller revelation, we know that he's taken us over in Jesus, his Son, who came to be our Saviour and to put us right with God eternally by taking our sin upon him. This is still the way God works when he chooses and takes over people like you and me. He is still El Shaddai. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is still El Shaddai. Phil dug out that little song which I heard playing just before the service. Like many modern song, Christian songs, it came and went. But do you remember that song, El Shaddai? Hands up if you remember it. Well, a smattering of hands. I nearly said a spattering of hands, but a smattering of hands. And I suspect that many Christians sung it without actually knowing what they were singing and the real meaning of El Shaddai, the God of Jacob and the God of people like you and me. Here are the words again. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, age to age you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you took on Jacob and you did not let him go. And we think of him as a very slow convert, but you didn't let him go, you persisted with him. So please, El Shaddai, persist with people like us and fulfill all your plans in us and through us and despite us. Because we pray in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.